In this week, on the 9th of September 1998, three down by the 27th minute at Upton Park, the Dons hit back to shock West Ham with a 4-3 victory. That's the best comeback away from home I've ever been involved with in my 10 years at the club, manager Joe Kinnear said. It's a never start, never say die attitude. I told them at half time if we kept attacking, they might cave in. Cole Leeburn was magnificent. He won everything in the air and frightened the life out of them. Beating West Ham 4-3. Funny we could have done that sort of comeback on Saturday. One side did their job. Sadly, it wasn't us. Anyhow, we're the Samuel Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go.
Welcome, welcome, dear listener, to the Same Old Wombles. I'm very excited about this evening's episode, not because we reflect on the game, which I'm hoping we could just gloss over very quickly, but because we've got a lovely special guest. So let me do the introduction to start with. Hello, mon frère, Niall Cooper, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Matty. Well, we won't talk about Saturday, so it's fine.
Yeah, perfect. And hello, Dr. Adam Proctor, our producer. How are you?
I'm all right because I decided not to try and find a pub that might be showing the game on Saturday and have not watched any of the highlights or any of the vlogs, so I'm fine.
Exactly. This is the sort of in-depth analysis from Saturday you're going to get. And to the man who it has got all of our football knowledge, the stats guru, our Wimbledon main man, Mr. Tall Mark Lewis. How are you?
I was going to regale everybody actually with an anecdote of that West Ham game, but I didn't watch Saturday's game either. We can't completely gloss over it. We have to come back to it later on.
Do
But
we?
yes, we do,
Good.
because we're a loosely football related podcast.
Really loose.
However, because it's the same one was, I can tell the anecdote from the West Ham game, which was that that was the one game in 30 years plus of watching Wimbledon that my wife decided she wanted to leave at half time. And I said, you can't. And she couldn't understand why. And I said, you can't. So she stayed. And of course, we know what happened. The best bit about that game, apart from the win, was the moment about halfway through the second half when we had one defensive midfield player still on the park, which Kinnear then substituted. So at that point, I believe, I'm happy to stand corrected, but I believe then with the substitutes, we had Ekuku, Gale, Earl, Hartson, possibly, and maybe it's pre-Hartson. Anyway, we had no defensive midfield players whatsoever. Jason Yule in there as well. And it was quite fantastic because Ian Wright was giving it the big one when he scored the third goal against us. And then really rather meek and mild when we turned it around.
It was brilliant, absolutely fantastic. Anyhow, thank you very much for that. That is brilliant. That you see, we want to relive the best moments, and if there's someone who's lived through the best moments,
What
is
a segue.
a legend at our club. I'm delighted to welcome our special guest, Anne Pugh. Hello, Anne. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine. I'm slightly strained because I've just come back from Pilates. I know, don't at me. But I started it a few weeks ago, and I feel I have to keep going, partly because I've paid for six sessions. So yeah, but great to be here. Like, I do listen to your podcast. I haven't just come on and don't know what's going on. And it makes me laugh.
Well, thank
Well,
you.
thank you.
We do it, Anne, and we don't know what's going on, so.
No, haven't got the faintest idea, and so you're welcome. We're so delighted to have you on. I think just can we just have a little bit of a potted history of your time being involved with the club? So how did you get involved with Wimbledon? How long have you been here? All that sort of stuff.
My dad was a Wimbledon supporter. I grew up in Mitcham. My dad was a postman, and he used to go to Plough Lane to watch matches. And then I didn't go, I'm not quite sure why, because I always liked football, but I didn't go with him to Plough Lane. And I think because I was getting older and I went off to university to Bath, and then while I was there, there was the amazing Leeds game and things, which we all huddled round to watch, whatever it was, the replays on the. And this is one for the teenagers. We were in the television room on campus, where there was a television on a tripod and about 400 students in and out of the bar going into the TV lounge to watch TV. And I went up there to watch a match. My dad was, and again, you had to queue up for to use a phone and stuff like that. But my dad was giving me a blow-by-blow account of what Wimbledon were doing. And so there was me and another undergraduate who was on the same course as me, who supported Yeovil, whose dad had been a professional footballer at some time. And we were the only two on our course who kind of got excited about any kind of football. Anyway, then I went down to Cornwall, so not much football going on there. But when I came back up to start work in 1983, at Eastfields in Mitcham, I was given a timetable that bore no relation to anything I'd ever taught before. So I went in to see the head and said, "This is all very fine and dandy, but I don't even have an O level in geography because I did history and Latin instead." I said, "So why am I teaching it 3 times a week?" And he said, "Oh, don't worry about that. Mick Pugh will sort you out."
Oh, of all the horrible words to be put in a sentence.
And the rest is history.
And that was it,
And
really.
Latin.
That was kind of not it entirely, but that's when I met. He'd been there for just a term, and he hadn't. I mean, he'd gone. That was his first teaching job. But I'd taught in Bristol, so I'd done a bit of teaching, and yeah. So that's how we met, and then I suppose a couple of years after that, I started going to Plough Lane with him. And then onwards, we ended up, we were at the 88 Cup final together. So I was sort of involved when all the, is it all right? So when all the shit was hitting the fan, we were going to be moved to Iceland or wherever or somewhere else, and I couldn't get involved because I just had Tom. So I wasn't even going to that many, well, didn't go to any matches for a while. At but I was on television one Sunday when we were in a cup thing, when Bob Wilson interviewed us about moving.
Yes. Now this is very famous moment. It's the
And I was
interview.
on it, although on the YouTube thing, I've only ever seen one, and you only like see me at the end. You don't see me talking, but I was talking. My dad was in hospital at the time. And he'd had a heart attack, so you know, and I wasn't expecting to get on and be on the telly or anything, but I did have my say, and so did Mick. When I got back and went round to see my dad, he said, "The thing is, Anne, I wasn't expecting to have to worry about having a second fucking heart attack. I was watching the telly." Half time, you arrived on it. So yeah, so another my parents were going, "Oh my God, it's Anne." Yeah. So there you go. And then since then, kind of got involved, but not as involved as Mick obviously did with everything changing. And he went to loads of away matches, and I went to a couple because you know, kids and everything. But then started getting back, then got involved with Wish. So I've skipped practically 2 decades there, but you know, got involved with Wish, was doing tours, which I wasn't expecting to be trying to coordinate, but that was quite interesting. And then helping put together the stuff that's now up in storage and in the museum. There.
I love the fact you skipped those things, but just to say, dear, we're going to come back to them, dear listener. There is a wonderful documentary of our first season in the first division, or Premier League as they call it now, 86-87, And in it, you see the game that Anne's referring to, which is against Everton,
Everton.
and we won 3-1, and it was fantastic game. But if you get a chance, do have a look at that documentary. It's brilliant, and in it, you'll see at the Everton game there was protest about us merging with Palace at the time, and yeah, Bob interviews Mick, and you can see Anne right there next to him. So yeah, it's brilliant. So but I don't like the idea that Mick was off watching the football and you were raising the kids. Is that the way that
Pretty
it was
much.
working there? Is that...
I mean, I no, I went back to work quite quickly after having Tom, and so I was working 4 days a week for the first year. And only and I used to have Fridays off thinking I'll have a long weekend. So I couldn't really justify not spending some time with him then, because I hadn't spent much time with him Monday to Friday, Monday to Thursday. So I didn't go to I went to a few, but I didn't go to very many until I went to an evening, that was a cup thing, I think. I went to an evening one where it was so misty and it went to extra time. And my mum was babysitting Tom, and it went on. And you couldn't see anything.
Was
That
this
was my first going back. I can't remember. It was a cup thing. It was this.
Sellhurst? Was it at Sellhurst
Yeah. Must have been.
against? Was it against Villa? I think it was their Sellhurst.
Yes, it was. Yeah,
Yeah.
because I'd been to Villa. I used to go to away matches before Tom came along, because sure, it happened to fall when Sean, who's 10 years younger, when Sean was off with his dad for the weekend. So yeah,
Oh,
it
that's just.
was. Yeah, so that was going back. What the first evening one back that I went to when the fog came down. And it went on and on. I'd said to my mum as well, I won't be long.
That's fantastic. But and when the shit really hit the fan in 2002, what were you around there? Were you doing stuff at that point?
I did some leafleting. I came to some fundraisers. You couldn't have both of us screaming the place down, and I do, and I was involved in other things, so it wasn't like I was the quiet little mum at home, because I've never ever been like that. But there were other things that were occupying time. I was a union rep as well, and my school was all over the shop, so there was other things that I was doing, and I couldn't do everything. And Mick was quite a big personality to just get on and do it, and I didn't want it to become a kind of competition either. So I was quite happy. I'd get a blow by blow account of every frigging meeting that he went to. The time he was sitting on the floor in Ivor's office or whatever, and weird meetings, and he'd come back and tell me. I went to the comedy night, and made a fool of myself in front of Mark Steel afterwards, because I really, really like him. And a bit like my encounters with Dave Besson, I have quite a lot to say. But those two, Mick talks to everyone, as you know. So he goes dragging me up to see Mark Steel afterwards, and sort of left me with him, and I couldn't think of anything to say at all. So I went, I did go to a few things, and I did go to some of the matches, but there are other things that need doing, and it's not a domestic thing. It's just there were other things that I was involved in and doing, so I wasn't always going to matches, but I certainly felt like I was getting a lot of information.
Mick was always like that.
Yeah.
And obviously we all, I imagine you do, obviously you do, we all miss him terribly. And but I remember doing the play the last time at
You did the play.
at
I
the
came to
yeah at
the run through. I went to that, and then
and
I did.
he yeah and he but I remember he would do the he you know this was a couple of, this is almost a couple of years ago now. He would do the intro. So everyone would gather in, all the audience would gather in the Silver Lounge, and Mick would do the intro before we all went upstairs to watch the production. There's a video of it somewhere.
I came to one and I picked him up from another one.
He was there.
Yeah,
There.
that's right. Yeah, well, he was there and very much involved in it. I certainly enjoyed football back at Plough Lane. Even, it was great to go back, great to finally get in there. And it was a shame that the team had sort of unraveled with Glyn, and Glyn was an ex-Eastfields boy as well, so I hadn't taught him, and I think Mick arrived just as he'd left, but Mick had him back at Eastfields for training and things, and I felt really sorry for him. And then when Robbo was in, I did come to most of those matches, and that was a bit agonizing as well. Didn't laugh a lot in that one. I just felt
No.
really great. It was really great,
And
but it's been
what
good.
are you thinking?
Go on.
Yeah, what have you thought so far? What have you thought so far? Because obviously, last it's brilliant last season going up through the playoffs. Were you at Wembley?
Unbelievable. I was so pleased. Pleased that we got to the playoffs, and I did go to every one of those, including going away. That was good. And I hadn't been able to do that before. So that was good. Well, not for a long time. I went to the pub with Lou to watch the Luton one. I don't go to pre-match friend, pre-season friendlies, because it's still summer and that's not what I've ever done. But the Luton one, I thought we were really unlucky. And then the Cardiff one, Sean and I went to, and I thought then we were really unlucky. I thought the team was looking, given that there were some new players who'd hardly had any time to do anything, I thought this could be good. There's potential there. And I thought we were really unlucky to lose to Cardiff, because I thought we'd really play pretty well. And then I went along to the Barnsley game, and that was really good, I think. And I would have got, well, I might have even gone to Reading. But I had to go to Alex's wedding. Mick's son got married on the day of the Reading thing. So we were all sitting at Morden Registry Office with our phones out and on silent, looking to see
Hang on, this is a
if we
family that does
could still
football
be.
and does
I know,
Wimbledon
Alex
football, and
needed
they got
to.
married during the football season.
He did. Initially they weren't, but they had to change their wedding because of illness in the family and stuff. So that wedding kind of came at short notice, so short notice that I was at Folk in the Park in the morning with people who wanted tickets from me, who were staying with me for the weekend, left them there, got in a taxi, picked up my other son on the way to the registry office, went to the registry office, saw them get married, saw the score, went back to the park. So yeah,
Dedicated.
we were all well pleased with that win. And since then, I'm not quite sure. We just seem to have lost it a bit, and I'd be interested to know what other people say.
Yeah, it's intriguing, isn't it? Because Mark, you were saying this is now four on the spin. I mean, I think we've been unlucky and close in a few of those games, barring last Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it is literally four on the spin. Two of those obviously were cup games that we don't really necessarily care about, unless of course you're winning. But someone's made a sensible point, which you can now very quickly analyze by looking at the League One table. Six out of the seven teams we play in the league so far are in the top 10. Cardiff are top, and Stevenage are fourth. Okay, we played their B team. Bradford are fifth. Barnsley, who beat, are sixth. Luton are seventh. Lincoln, who we beat, are eighth. Bolton, who we got thumped by, are 10th. So actually, frankly, maybe we need to give ourselves a break. I know that football fans don't do that. We're all very fickle, but we've got to be realistic.
But that was one of the things that was discussed at the beginning, was that the start of the season was going to be really hard for us because of the teams that would come out through the fixtures. And maybe we and others have forgotten about that. So yeah, I think we have played a bunch of, every, a load of people said we're going to have a really tough start to the season because of the opposition. And we've done pretty well, generally.
I mean, I think that with the Bolton one, sadly, as I said to Matt, is that I do know a number of Bolton fans through work with Fair Game, and they were very much of the opinion that until Joe Lewis, until sorry, Marcus Brown's slightly misplaced tackle,
Slightly.
but
No,
slightly misplaced
let's call a
tackle.
spade a spade. It was an awful
Oh.
tackle, and he should learn better. And frankly, if we could afford to fine him, then we'd fine him.
He
Right.
was, just so I was saying, out of all of it, right, is that, as you all know, I am of the huge opinion of being immensely biased. There is no sense of trying to be kind of beating around the bush. So Marcus Brown's slightly misplaced tackle after that, then we kind of fell apart. So up and
He was playing slower than the rest of the whole team. He was like so far behind. What was going on there?
anyway, so that's the point. I mean, they were kind of saying that actually we'd been very much in the game in the first half, and we had started brightly at the start of the second half, and then Marcus Brown does what Marcus Brown did. And then, even that game, there is a reason to sort of say, well, there's possibilities. I think obviously nobody cares a tuppence about whatever the name of that cup is, the empty Heinz baked bean tin can cup against Stevenage. So we don't even have to talk about that. So that's fine. I mean, like we did a pod last week during that game. We didn't even talk about it. So, we're not going to talk about it now.
No, but the only thing I think in regards to the Stevenage game is obviously there was a load of changes, which is fine. My only concern was that those players that came in got thrashed, and so that's going to really knock their confidence. And so that concerns me, that what the cup is, that's a rubbish cup, whatever. But the fact that those younger players or the players who are not in the first team for quite a bit of the game get thrashed, I think that's quite a bad thing to happen. But
Except when are they going to get an opportunity to play? We've got a relatively small pool, correct me if I'm wrong, of players. So you want to try them out and give them the opportunity to play a game. They must have been warned that it was going to be tricky. And I think I'm not sure what JJ's position is on that cup, but if you're going to play them, give them a run out. That's a better place to do it than end up with an injury list and you've got to play them in important matches.
I
It's
think Anne's
also
quite right.
worthwhile pointing out that the financial model of AFC Wimbledon still involves about developing talent, young talent, and selling it on. So the only way you're going to develop young talent is to actually put them into matches. So, there has to be a game where you do that. And I think Anne's right, is that if there was a game to do it, then it was that one. What happens was unfortunate in terms of the result. But, we've got to think that there have probably been other times when we might have blooded, the likes of Jack Curry or, Sal or other players that have come through the systems and, that young talent that we've had. And that's when we needed to have done it. So, we've got to kind of look at it in a that's the way the club's set up. So we can't knock
But
it
it's,
really.
do you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm wondering if JJ is because obviously Robbo, he'd come through that whole development side. That was his big thing. So he was giving players that chance, too many players a chance, I think, probably towards the end of his tenure. But, has JJ been giving players a chance, like from our academy side? Because, I mean, Oggs has come through, which has been brilliant. There's not many others, so I'm wondering if that is really his thing.
But I mean, if you claim it's not, and I take your point, but
No.
actually, where have these players gone? Have they left our club and then pulled up trees anywhere else? No, I don't
No,
see that they have.
that's true.
You
That
know,
is
I mean,
true.
where is George Marsh now, for example? No idea. You know, I heard the other day that sadly Morgan Williams can't even get a place in Lowestoft Town's team, whatever level they're playing at. So the reality is, certain players come through at different speeds at different times. Whether or not the COVID time impacted that one way or the other, I'm not sure. But we have to play those players to give them a to give the management an opportunity to see whether they're good enough. I think the reality is, as Anne's quite rightly pointed out, we've probably got. I mean, you can go through the different compartments of the team. You know, we know McDonald's cheap. We know Bishop's the main choice. We know at the in the back three you can choose out of Lewis and Harbottle and Johnson and Bauer and Oggs. But at the moment, we have no idea where Hutchinson is or whether or not he's actually going to play full stop without meaning to cast aspersions, without knowing any background about that. But then if you go through different positions, we're playing this formation with the two inverted tens, but Hackford's not an inverted 10, he's a centre forward. Omar's not an inverted 10, he's a centre forward. And that's the positions they're kind of having to play. Now we have to find a solution for someone like Marcus Brown. But again, Brown wants to be a 10. He doesn't want to be the person that actually has to track back. I thought his discipline up before Saturday had been pretty good. But on Saturday, it was woeful. And the way that Reeves actually reacted to him and almost picked him up by, the hair under his
Armpits, yeah.
armpits to drag him off the pitch shows exactly how he really has let the team down,
Yeah.
unfortunately. And in a team, in a squad the size that we have, we really will miss him, mainly because we don't have too many players that can necessarily do that type of particular role. And if we do, we're going to have to take somebody out. I mean, I remember talking to the Lincoln fan a bit earlier part of the season, and he said that part of the reason Ali Smith didn't do great there is they tried to play him in that inverted 10 role, which we wouldn't even dream about, right? Because we've seen where he's been successful, and he wasn't successful at Lincoln in that role, and so they bombed him out, and brought other players in. But the reality is, for us, we're going to have to play some square pegs in round holes, as they say. We want Hackford to be involved in the team. Do we want Hackford to have to run back 50 yards to back up his wing back? Not necessarily, but if he doesn't, the wing backs get greatly exposed, and then the team doesn't function, because a team that's devoted to playing with wing backs, as Jackson is, has to get the wing backs forward. But without any protection for them, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I think we're all assuming that Omar's going to be playing that role, whether he likes it or not. He's going to be in that place, which I know Adam is very keen on. So he's excited to see Bugle back in there. But the truth is, can Bugle last 90 minutes? If not, if he's taken off, there isn't another replacement, is there? And hopefully, nothing happens to Hippolyte because he's now become essential. Up in that false 10 role. I don't even know what a false 10 is. I'm just using the words you're saying, Mark, to be honest with you.
False nine. I actually said inverted 10, but never
Oh,
mind.
inverted 10.
Yeah, Anne's given up.
Inverted 10. Is there
Come on, guys. I'm going to have to go and fill up the wine glass if you carry on this. False 10.
exactly. I mean,
Exactly,
I'm
Anne.
very
Exactly. We don't even know.
promising.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what they're talking about. Just to
No.
clarify, I was looking. You can't, obviously, this is audio only, but I can see Anne kind of leaning back and slowly glazing over, as
No,
I
no, no.
was as
I
well,
wasn't
because they're
glazing
going
over. I was just
inverted 10,
thinking
backward
false 10.
nine, like force three, Gale, whatever. I mean, I don't know any of this shit. It doesn't mean it means nothing to me. Right. I am old school Wimbledon, as we know. Big bloke up front, lob it towards them, knock it down, short bloke scores. Easy. Football's easy, right? That's what it should be.
Except that
Four,
Matt Stevens
bloody
is about
four,
5'9",
two.
so you know.
That's the problem. Big bloke up front. That's what we're missing. If you've got a problem, I don't want an inverted 10, a backward nine, or whatever. I would want a big bloke up front. That's it.
Do we know what the suspension is?
Preferably with sharp elbows.
Yeah, so Adam, so Brown is going to be out for 3 weeks, 3 matches, sorry, and Lewis is out for one because he's got two yellows. So
Yeah.
it's going to be interesting against a side who you think, we play Rotherham on Saturday, and that's a, we're looking at that going, hopefully we can get something from it, at least a draw, if not a win, and we are going to miss Lewis. Although, having said that, I think Lewis wasn't there for the Barnsley game, and we did pretty well there with
What's our opinion on Johnson having gone to Northern Ireland, done some training for 4 days, missed one of our games, and not played a minute for them?
might
And
have been
no,
quite
for that,
annoying
I.
for him.
Go on, Anne.
I think it might have been quite annoying for him, really, quite frustrating to, but nice to be called up, and then frustrating not to be played, like any player who gets called up, apart from goalkeepers who know that they're, unless something dreadful happens, they won't have to play. But anyone else who gets called up, it's lovely to be called up for your country, isn't it? But it must be, he was obviously, I would have thought he'd have wanted to play, so it's a shame he didn't. But was the feeling, I didn't even see the highlights of Saturday's match. Was he really missed? Oh, it's all gone quiet.
I'd have thought so, and I think, I mean, I think he, I would say up until I would I would actually say, and this is a surprise, we'll get onto this in a second, but I would say that he's been one of our players of the season so far.
He's been
He's
great.
been great. And as for a call-up, I think a call-up's fantastic, and I think it reflects really well on the club. I was surprised he didn't get a game against Luxembourg. You'd have thought you brought someone along, and you know, if he's going to be a potential member of your squad going forwards, you want to give him a chance.
10 minutes or so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd have thought you'd give him a chance against, especially against Luxembourg. But I guess at that point, I don't know when they went 3-1 up, but you know, they might have been worried about conceding, so they didn't want to, you know, change it. And I don't think he was ever going to get on the pitch against Germany. I think they were
No,
going to keep with that side.
maybe not. I did read rather patronisingly that the evidence of the strength in depth for Northern Ireland, or lack of strength in depth, was that they had two players, no, three players, in fact, in their squad from the third tier. One of which was Johnson, obviously, and one of which was Toal, I believe his surname is pronounced, who is a centre back who played in both games, who is Bolton's player. So Bolton managed without two players, and we obviously managed without Johnson rather more poorly.
I mean, I
Was going to say, I think we're fans of Johnson on this podcast, so I'm sure. Like I said, I haven't watched the highlights either because I didn't want to depress myself, but I'm sure we missed him quite a lot.
yeah, I think so. And I mean, it is the natural three, isn't it, really, at the moment? It's, you know, Ogs, Lewis, and Johnson. I don't know. I think it'd probably been a great experience for him, and I'm hopefully that he'll get another shot at the next thing. I mean, I was quite surprised. I don't know how suited Wales are at the centre back position. I thought that Joe Lewis might have got a chance to go up there. Maybe if he'd done that, he wouldn't have got sent off.
To be fair to Wales and also Northern Ireland, actually, they have got more players now who are involved in the Championship and in the Premiership as opposed to the lower levels that they've got. And I guess naturally they would pick players from Cardiff. So I started following a number of teams in League One because I'm helping to source the articles for the program. So I started following a couple of pods that Cardiff fans do, and they're talking about the Colwell brothers, who are like through their academy, and they will sell for big money as well. And they're both like, one's 20, I think one's 18 or something ridiculous. They're both already in Cardiff's first team. They've both already played under 21 games, and I think one of them was actually then called into the squad for the Wales
Right, that's
international
it.
break.
That's it. I'm
Mark, we've
sorry.
talked about this.
That
We've talked about
I'm
this, Mark.
sorry.
This is
I'm sorry, Mark.
not the Cardiff. This isn't the Cardiff podcast. We talked about this
And
last week.
no, seriously, look, oh, you've got a right habit to do this because it's just dull, Mark. No offense, right? If you were doing a
You asked
general
about
football
youth academy.
podcast,
It's youth academies.
yeah, no. Do we ask about youth academy at, like, I don't know, Basingstoke or Tranmere Rovers? No,
He's
we
trying to get
are
a
the
BBC
same old
podcast.
Wobbles.
That's what's happening. He's
He's
trying to work out how to move into BBC.
Mark, you know what? I'd
He's
rather,
trying
and you know where I'm at with this, I'd rather talk about the beer in your hand than I would about Welsh Academy football, right? It's
Oh, sick.
not relevant. It's not interesting. Sorry, dear listener, we've bored you to tears because I was bored to tears.
You,
And
I
I'm
feel, I
sure,
feel,
like you, like, you know, whatever,
yeah. I
not
think,
interested.
yeah. I think that bit there. No, you've got to stop at. So anyhow, the men lost, but the women's team in their cup match, not only did they win, they won 6-1, and they're doing it's
Brilliant.
that's brilliant. I mean, I know that they've had a tough start to the season as well, so that has been fantastic. Obviously, we haven't been to a game. I haven't been to a game yet. You guys have been to a game, and I'm assuming, have you taken in any of the women's games?
I haven't this season. I went last season quite a bit, but I haven't been this season. I just haven't been able to. There've been other things going on. I've not been able to go. Who do they play in the cup? I can't even remember that now. I did see. Who did they play?
Maidenhead.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
Oh, great.
I'm not sure what division they're in. I'm going for the WSL, and
That has reminded me though, because I did manage to get the Wikipedia page for Ashley Hinks up today, and I just wonder whether Wikipedia have deleted the page yet, based on my info. Let's see. I will carry on, and I'll just check.
Okay, thanks, Adam, for that intro. So we're having to do the pages for Ashley Hinks, who was on the show a little while ago. Anyhow, that's congratulations to them. So not all is lost. I think our academy sides are doing well. Our academy sides, Mark, are doing quite well. So that's a good thing. And I
Under
guess
18 teams unbeaten this season.
perfect. See, and it is true, Nye, as you say, we need to try and get these our academy players into our team and hopefully bring them on. I'm hoping that, a couple can break through next year. We'll see. Certainly Junior, and you pronounce his name correctly, Mark, who played in that cup game, didn't he? He was quite good. Junior, I haven't got his name pronounced in front of me.
N
Come
King or
on,
something, but I don't know how you
Enk.
pronounce it.
Yeah.
N King.
Enkeng.
I was just
Mark
checking I was allowed to talk
was
again.
just looking at me like, come on, mate, try it. Try
No,
pronouncing
I was just keeping quiet
Enkeng.
because I was told to keep quiet by that Nile bloke, you know?
No. You see, you're allowed to talk about our academy. That's fine. And I appreciated the under 18s being unbeaten. That was useful bit of intel that our listener will like. That's fine, Mark.
Yeah.
I love your stats, love all of that. It's great.
Anyhow, moving on in other news, the big news is, and I think we're quite excited about this. I think the same old Wobbles could take a little pat on the back because we were saying last week on the show that I think it would be really useful if there was a member from the DTB who would be able to sit and talk to potential applicants. Have a little bit of a one-to-one, and following our podcast, Angus Fox, again, who's been on the show before, put something out on socials and up on their Discord, offering to talk to potential app nominees for the Don's Trust board, which is fantastic. And I just want to get this right in my head. So Angus had these little one-to-one conversations with potential nominees, and have you put your name forward?
No.
Okay, fine.
What I liked best about that response was the hesitation, the kind of pause, the thought that, I'm really thinking hard about this one and whatever.
I
And it's
was
almost like
asked.
Anne.
I was asked by Lou Carlton Kelly the other week if I'd stand, and I said no, with about the same amount of time that it took to say no there. And I did say I thought out of the two of us, if anyone ought to stand, it ought to be her, and it certainly wasn't going to be me. I think I'm too old, and also I'm at the time where I think, there are other things that I'm now able to do that I've not been able to do for a few years for all sorts of reasons that people know about, where I can take off and go places and do things. And if I was going to be on the DTB, I'd want to be doing it properly. And my days of doing things part-time or full-time properly are gone. So I'll go to things and I'll come along to matches. And the one thing I've done this season, incidentally, and then go back to the DTB, is I decided that if I wasn't going to do loads of things up on the third floor to do with sorting out memorabilia for the tiny room that's now presumably completely full of memorabilia. If I wasn't going to do that, and I wasn't going to do things in the DT, what I would do was that I'd sponsor a kit. So I've sponsored Alistair Smith's away kit for the season there, and I've got two season tickets still. So that's my thing at the moment, going to matches when I can. And might go to a few away ones, but something like the DTB it would take up a lot of my time because I'd want to do it properly there.
Well, okay. A simple no would have done, Anne, but
I said a simple no. Is that what I ought to say? There you go. I also
I don't want to tar
come back
Anne
now
with
we're on
mixed
air, but
brush, but.
just to come back to it, the other thing is, I was quite impressed with what you were talking about on your last podcast about maybe looking at different ways that the DTB could work with people being brought in to do to do certain specific things, because I think that might work there.
It's I wonder if it's going to be something that gets the new board when they're in post will talk about, or if it's on anyone's manifestos even. So we will now have to We'll have to look at that because I think the manifesto has come out on Thursday.
Well, I guess the first thing to say is the manifestos will come out if there are appropriate number of candidates for there to be a contested election, which I think everybody with a half a brain cell in their head would hope is the case. I've heard a few internet rumors about people who are standing. I only know literally of one person who's standing. And obviously there are four or five vacancies, I believe. Don't
I
know.
only know one. I wonder if it's the same one, Mark. Probably is.
Quite possibly, but more
But is that
importantly,
new people?
we
Is that new people that you know of, or people who are
no,
restanding? Because I
no,
only know
no.
Kazan is
I've just
standing.
I've read some things on social media and different places, which you take with the bucket load of salt that you should do things on social media, really.
Well, like you
Yeah,
say,
on social
I
media,
think
I
the big
take
thing
things with
is,
whatever.
I think the big thing is making sure that they are contested elections. That is the
Yeah,
most important thing for us.
how many people did we need to stand? Do we know off the top of our heads? Like, what was the total number?
Isn't the DTB got 12 board members, and there are currently X number of vacancies? And dear listener, I'm just going to add for a second because I can see desperately that at least two, if not three, people are online trying to get to the bottom of this. How many vacancies do we have? We've
Now,
got
Matt,
five
before we do
vacancies.
this,
Well done, Adam. Then it
Mark says on five.
minimum of
Mark,
five people basically
yeah,
is
okay.
what the website
Because
says.
two people step down short of the time. Normally, it's a third that would step down that would revolve every year, but two people didn't complete their term. So,
Okay.
three people elected to serve 3 year terms. Two people elected to serve 2 year terms.
Right, and
Perfect.
how many of the existing board are up for re-election?
Well, so
Don't know.
Alex and Martin are for definite because they were only on a 1 year term. And I'm not sure who else, though.
Okay. Well,
I
there we
can
are.
find I'll find out. You guys talk about something else.
So we could actually have a new member of the podcast.
Manifestos go out on Thursday, according to the information on the Dontos website.
There you are. So,
Anyway.
this is it, dear listener.
Oh, yeah.
We
So
are the
here we go.
source of information.
I'm just clicking on the website. So basically, Alex, Martin, and Simon Hood were 1 year terms. So their term would have ended now. So if they want to restand, they need to restand if they want to continue. James Longhurst is 2 years. Everyone else is 3 years, other than the ones that sort of, stopped early, obviously, which added the extra spaces. My dog is
Thank
now
you.
barking madly while I'm actually saying something on the podcast. Unbelievable.
I know, Adam. We usually don't let you speak, to be honest with you, not for that long. And
Exactly.
not entirely sure. And I'm very also pleased that you were able to have a look and check that Ashley Hink's Wikipedia site is still up and running, and it is. So
It's still
well
up.
done.
I haven't been taken down. The last Wikipedia page I did got taken down within a couple of hours, so I'm pretty pleased. So
But
hopefully.
that's because of the content of that last thing that we don't need to go into now, Adam.
The significant stat, you should not actually overlook the significant stat that happened at the women's game at the weekend, which was that it was Hannah Billingham's 200th appearance as an AFC Wimbledon player, which is quite phenomenal because I'm not quite sure how many seasons that will be. But obviously, she would have seen all different types, all different facilities and training facilities and grounds. God knows how many grounds she would have played on as an AFC Wimbledon player. She's no longer the captain, but definite stalwart in the whole squad, and frankly, everybody associated with and supporting AFC Wimbledon should applaud her for that.
Absolutely
Totally.
brilliant.
And I'm hoping that, well, maybe she might get the front cover of the program this Saturday. That would be an interesting thing, wouldn't it?
That would be.
Not many people have got to 200. And especially now in this, I think at our lower level, I mean, what's been the highest number of caps that people have had, the highest number of appearances someone's had at this level for us?
By
I'm
this
set
level, do you mean league or
League. I'm
AFC?
talking about. I'm talking. I'm
Do you
talking.
mean
No, as
women's team,
AFC.
women's
No,
players?
no. As men's. I think men's as well, because I think the AFC Wimbledon team, since it's got into the league up until this point, I don't think we've had players. Many players have got 200 appearances, because we move people on quite quickly. Anyhow, just getting Just getting towards the end, I just wanted to, whilst I set people that challenge,
I have the answer.
later bits, how many? What's the pieces?
205.
Oh, who's got 205?
In the Football League,
Yeah, who?
2013 to 2018.
Okay.
Although our current captain is catching that very quickly, but
Would it be a keeper?
no keepers in the top 10.
Well, okay. Whilst we think on that, so next thing to say is the other thing to look at is Zav. Where is Zav? He was up near the northeast, isn't he? He's in.
He's stateside.
He's
He's,
in.
he was outside. He was outside Newcastle United's ground, I think yesterday. I don't know where he's heading today, but massively pro everything he's doing. I think he's absolutely fantastic. I had lots of chats with Sav in the build up to all of this, and I just think what he's achieved and what he's doing. There's a little part of jealousy that I'd love to be doing it as well. Apart from the fact he does have days where he does 28 miles in a day or something ridiculous, and it's just absolutely phenomenal just to keep on going. He's still got like over 50 days to go or something. It's amazing to try and catch all 92 game grounds. Big up to Zav. If you haven't checked it out, then definitely do. I think it's the 92 walk or whatever it's called.
Walk
Do check it out.
Walk 92
Walk
on
92.
Twitter, and there's also a TikTok thing. But if you go to the Walk 92 on X, then you'll be able to see where he's at. You'll be able to see a link to the TikTok page, and also, most importantly, a link to the crowdfunder site, crowdfunder.co.uk/p/walk4dlag, walk-4-DLAG. So go Zav. We think what you're doing is amazing, and I'm hoping that when he gets back down this neck of the woods, there'll be a brass band playing or something for him. Huge reception, because it's just amazing. And I don't know whether he's got it sorted, so he comes back for a game.
Just a quick addition to that. I know that Michael Lonergan, friend of the pod as well, has also volunteered and is walking a number, I think 20 plus of those legs with Zav as well, which is quite fantastic. So big up, Mickey.
Yeah, that is
Well
fantastic.
done, well done.
Other little news, and then I'm going to get onto a bit which I'm quite interested about, is there's a new memorial bench on Wimbledon Common for Wimbledon supporters. So
I'm quite jealous of that. That's one of the things that's on my bucket list, or the bucket list for my family to organise. I definitely want one of them.
So there's a you want your own Mark Lewis bench.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah.
of course. And there's
Sorry, I got one for Mick, that's in the
Oh,
Ecology garden at Rutledge School.
that's quite fantastic. Yes, yeah, so vested interest here. Mick was my geography teacher way back in the day. And
There
I
you
don't have
go.
many regrets about things I did at school, but not actually taking geography for more than 1 year, I genuinely do, because I think the lessons I would have had with Mick would have been quite fantastic, irrespective as to the actual geography.
No, very little geography, but you
Yeah.
learn that by sort of osmosis, which is quite magical as well. But yeah.
But he was my rugby teacher and geography, as I say, for a year, and the only other Wimbledon fan, as far as I can remember, apart from me, in the whole school. Which was quite
No, were
fantastic.
you any good at? Were you any good at rugby?
I was until I broke my ankle aged about 16, and then I lost general kind of oomph. But now I just vicariously live it out through my son. So when you lot were getting frustrated about Bolton, I was watching my son referee an adult men's game for the first time at rugby, which is quite interesting because I wasn't allowed to shout at the referee because he was my son.
They don't shout. They're not as bad at shouting at referees at rugby, so it's much nicer than it is at football.
No, because the referee can basically tell them that if they shout at them,
Yeah,
he actually
it's great.
got the both captains together at one point and told them to stop giving lip. And 30 seconds later, one of the opposition players gave some lip, at which point he just marched them back 10 meters because that's the respect they have in rugby.
That you see that
Much
is good, isn't
prefer
it?
that. I really like that. That is a rule. I did an interview once with Keith Hackett, ex referee, and that is one rule that we both agreed should come into
Boring,
football.
boring.
Anyhow, so it's great about that. I'm coming back to the benches. I'm going to save this. So it's great that Mick's got his own bench. Is it yellow and blue? Do we have to go and paint it?
No, it was because I thought there'd been the Mick Pugh room up in the, for the archive stuff, for the music and the overspill for the museum, which was a nice thing. But I was thinking there ought to be something that was not football. This is the wrong podcast to be saying.
No, I mean, Ange, be
Oh,
honest,
it's true.
we're all we all absolutely, you know, brilliant
Many
memories of Mick, and
people,
so, like, you know.
so many people who he taught, who, you know, who got in touch and stuff. And I thought, oh, I'll do something. So I got this bench bought and deposited in the ecology garden, which he'd started at Rutledge, and was really pleased with, because it was part of, there was a new build that they were moving into. I think there's a photograph of Mick with a load of 2002 protest things sitting amongst the rubble at the new building. But there was a bit of ground outside where he was teaching, and he turned it into an ecology garden, and it kind of disappeared after he retired. And but the head who's there now, when I spoke to her just after Mick had died, and Tom and I went over there to see some teachers, but the head, who didn't know Mick, she said, oh, the ecology garden, I've got some funding to restart it and stuff. And I said, oh, well. And she said, would you like a memorial bench? Because they've got, you know what Rutledge is like, it's mainly comprehensive, but it's got history, so it's got a memorial woodland area.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Oh God. And I thought,
Rutledge
and
is
I
the big
didn't see
comprehensive
it. I
school
thought,
with a private school background.
I'm not
It's
having anything
mad.
there. I thought, you know, that's not my kind of thing. But I thought, if they're going to put the ecology garden back so that the kids can use it and stuff, I'd rather it went there. So that is where it is. And I went to see it to make sure that the bench was all right. And there's a plaque on it that says, Mick Pugh, inspirational teacher. That's all it says. Because I'm not big
Oh,
on poems and things on
that's
bench.
fantastic. I should go
It
back.
is
I haven't
fantastic.
been back there, even though I live not far away. I haven't been
I'm
back
going to
there
try
since
and
I
get
left, you
some of
know.
the family to go along, but I'm trying to choose dates when we can jog along there and they'll let us in, when to go and have a look at it, when it's not somebody's birthday or somebody's death
Or
day. Or,
someone's got a surprise wedding on.
oh no, that
Yeah,
sort of thing.
yeah,
And it's
yeah.
not then,
I mean,
or Wimbledon are playing at home, or
yeah, exactly.
Wimbledon playing anywhere, obviously. So, but yeah, so yeah, benches, bucket list. It's an it was a good idea, I thought. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
hundred
Oh,
percent.
totally. I mean, you know,
I think it's, well, like I've said before, we all miss him, and he was such an inspiration, such a character, a wonderful man. So it's great that he has a bench, and it's great that there's the Mick Pugh room as well in the club.
it's
So,
good. It's
yeah,
good.
I think it's
So,
all good.
yeah.
So anyhow, so we've got a memorial bench. So I'm just clocking back to news, in
Well,
a
we've got to start
completely
saving
different
for
way.
Mark's bench. That's what we found out. That's the news we now know.
Yeah. There are more tickets available for the Rotherham game that apparently they haven't taken their allocation. So there's some more tickets in the north air. So get your tickets for that, or tell people to come along. And then the big thing is, I've just noticed on the site, is that you know, because we're now trying to get money wherever we can, that the player of the month and goal of the month has been sponsored by a company called SDS. I don't know much more than that, but that's where they are. And I'm interested, because talking earlier on about Ryan Johnson, that the players of the month that have been put forward is Assemwey, Bishop, Brown, Seddon, and Stevens. So Brown doesn't make that list, nor does Lewis. I'm not sure that. Sorry, Ryan Johnson doesn't make that list, but Brown does. I'm not sure that people are going to vote for him now. So who would you have from that list, guys? Is and Anne, what would you have? Who would you have? Assemwey, Bishop, Brown, Seddon, or Stevens? Mark, who would be your player of the
I
month?
think I'd
Your
probably get
SDS player of the month.
SDS Player of the Month. Absolutely. I think I'd
Yeah.
probably go with Matt Stevens because, I mean, before the debacle of the last hour or so of the game against Bolton, he did hit the post. He has, in a way in which we've spoken about in the pod a number of times, a lot of players we weren't sure would they be able to make a step up, and he certainly has made a step up, and he's definitely playing the unfamiliar role to him. He's much better in a two, but he's not playing in a two. And he's scoring goals, and he's looked like he's can score goals. So yeah, I'd go with Matt Stevens definitely. If Johnson's not on the list, which he should be.
What about you, Adam? Would you agree with that, or would you put Bugle on there just for the hell of it?
No, I mean I would go for a Simway at this point. I know he's on loan, but yeah, I'd probably say a Simway because I like what he
Never
does.
fall in love with a lone player.
Yeah. Niall, who would you go for?
I'm going to fall in love with a lone player. Anyway, definitely. I think it just, I was always worried about that fullback replacing that position, and he's come in and he's done a fantastic job. So more than happy with him being my nod. And for Mark's benefit, I think, Stevens has surprised me about how well he's performed. So, he's definitely worth a nod as well.
Adan?
Oh, well, either Stevens, because I just felt so sorry for him. He kind of was doing so well last season, and then he had a really barren patch, and then was unlucky not to score. And so it was lovely to see him back and scoring, really good. And he's so committed, and so I just really like him. But Asinwe's been, I'm really impressed, really good. And so either of those would be fine out of those. But as you say, Ryan not on there is a bit weird.
Yeah, and I guess I'm, I've always goals with matches. So Stevens for me. So I think we've got two for Stevens, two for a Sem, two and a half for Stevens, and two and a half for Semway. So that's where we're at.
And
So
it says we'll get an
naturally.
email. It says we'll get an email. If you're Don's Trust members, you get an email. But I've got like an email. I've got to find the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can vote. If you're a DTB member, you can Don's
I got
Trust member,
an
not
email today,
Bournemouth.
I think, about it,
Yeah.
but I haven't looked at it properly yet.
Yeah, you can vote for your player of the month and the goal of the month, which is the second goal against Barnsley by Hackford. So you don't have to vote. That is it. Anyhow.
We have got an email. The email is in my inbox.
Yeah, there
Oh,
you are.
it'll be filtered through one of my random AI filter things somewhere. So I'll try and find
To
it.
answer the question as to who SDS London are, SDS London have over 35 years of expertise, becoming one of the UK's leading suppliers of architectural ironmongery. So for all your
Excellent.
architectural ironmongery needs, go to SDS London, based in London
SDS,
Park.
what about this?
I've got loads of
SDS,
that.
Samuel Wombles, sponsored by SDS. What do you reckon? That could work, couldn't it?
I think that would work. I think
Yeah,
that would be
that's
really
good.
good.
There, I could
You
go
know,
there.
and we're big fans of SDS. We've always loved their work and everything
Yeah.
they do.
All
And
the
we're
ironmongery.
happy.
I love iron.
I'm big on it.
I
I love
love
mongery.
iron. I love
Who
iron.
doesn't love iron?
I really
Anyhow.
like SDS because I could really do with a side gate.
There you are.
There you go.
So
See,
anyhow.
who doesn't want that? So, it'll
Yeah.
be like,
Yeah.
you know.
Anyhow,
Can I raise one other more serious thing? Really quickly.
okay, yes, you can. You can
The
raise
other thing
seriously.
which has come out in the last hour is a season ticket survey from the Don's Trust, which is again going out to all members, and it is basically asking the members specific comments and views relating to whether or not it's appropriate to introduce a cap on the number of season tickets that we sell. And
Oh,
whether or not
interesting.
we should also legislate in some way if people are not actually attending games. It does say, word for word, we are committed to never penalising a season ticket holder who cannot attend a game for a good reason. But we are keen to understand the views of members on what measures they would consider reasonable to maximise attendance every game whilst being fair to all members. So I think it's a sensible thing to say. Some interesting comments there about average no-show rates. Adults between August and January, 33%. 17s and under, 43%. Tuesday night games, which we know are poorly supported for different reasons, 39%. Adults, 56%. 17s and under, and Saturday games, 31%. Adults, 39%. 17s and under. So, yeah, I won't read the whole email out. Everyone can read it. They've got their own link to be able to judge that, and
I mean, I think
commit to the survey.
there's probably a way using technology to find out how many games in a row you've missed. So if you miss more than four games in a row, an email goes out going, "We are taking your season ticket back until until you want it. So maybe it's someone up. Or even if you miss three games in a row.
I think the email looks really good in terms of like what it's spelling out, that we've had some non-attendance and they want to kind of pick that up. The only thing I'd say at this point is that we've only just got Don's Ticks up and running, and we have all said on this podcast already that works really well for moving tickets around, way better than last season. So when I want to transfer one of my tickets now, it's way easier than it was last season. And I know that we all worked hard to do ticket transfers and whatever, but it was harder. So I think the survey is a really good thing to happen, and I know people have talked on various things about no shows, and that it says it's a sellout and there's empty seats and whatever. But maybe a little, I think some of that technology is just come in, so it may be a little early to make some of those decisions. So that's my initial thoughts on it.
Last season, when I tried to sell to pass my tickets on, didn't particularly want money for them, but knew I couldn't go, and I had to because I kept two because Mick had another year to run on one he bought for 5 years, and I thought I'll keep two and I'll take someone along most times, but when I tried to sell both of them or well, move both of them or one of them, either because I couldn't go or nobody could go. They'd only do one. I could only redo one. I hope that's been sorted. I haven't used it this time. Shame on me, I know, but I've only missed one home match.
It is way easier now. If you've got the
Yeah,
app, it's
it
so
is. I
much
mean,
easier.
I've been away for a couple of them, and I've been able to get them to my niece Tabby about it without it being any problem at all. So it's been a real ease. So it's no problem at all.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Listen, guys, so I think we're going to have to wrap this one up, even though,
Can
Niall,
we
I
do
think
the quick
next week,
quick? Can we do the quick
next.
quiz to finish? On total points, total appearance for AFC Wimbledon
Oh
in the
yeah,
league.
who's got the most? But first
Well,
things,
I give
Nye,
you top
before
five
we,
and you can guess.
Nye, but next week we're going to chat about the Fair Game Football Index, which comes out this week. Is that right?
It was out on Wednesday, and if I was a Wimbledon fan, I'd be probably quite interested.
Excellent. That's it. So let's look out for that on coming up on Wednesday. Mark, where are you up to?
Give me some guesses then. Top five in appearances for AFC Wimbledon in the Football League.
Will Nightingale.
Oh, I was going to say.
Fourth position, 204.
Well, I'm going Alex Rees.
Alex Reeves,
Alex,
yes.
fuck.
Otherwise known
Jake
as Jake
Rees.
Reeves.
Yeah,
Third
so I'm getting
position,
there. I'm getting there.
third position, 208. So you've got first, second, and fifth.
Are we talking about play in the Football League?
Just in the Football League, yeah. Not, Sam Hatton was the top in non-league with
Oh, yeah.
189.
What was Lee Brown then?
Not in the top 10.
Man, what planet are you on?
Yeah, he wouldn't
I'm
have
trying to
been.
think of people who've been there for a while, that's all.
No, he's just old. He wasn't with
There that long, was it?
Give me some
Wasn't there
random
that long?
names. Come on.
Can't think of anyone now.
What about Kedwell? No, Kedwell wouldn't have done it. Of course, he
Kedwell
left
didn't
for
play for us in the Football League. He,
from
his
the
last
yeah, he
kick
left
was what
Norwich
some
City.
bloke wrote a book about.
Yeah, I did right. It's not gonna be somebody like Lyle.
Lyle
Lyle
Taylor,
Taylor wouldn't even
ninth,
got.
150. Joe Sheeran, what was he?
Shearing, you look like you're
Oh,
sorry.
strange,
Good
sure enough, he
my
never played in the Football
God.
League either.
He never even played
Come
anywhere.
on, you're going to kick yourself on
Come
these. Think
on,
about the
like I'm
team that
gonna
beat
know.
Plymouth. Think about the team that beat Plymouth. Oh, in the final. Okay.
It'd be Sammy Moore.
Sammy Moore, seventh, 155. He wasn't in the Plymouth team, by the way, but yeah.
Who was at the back there? But Bullman, would Bullman be in
Yeah, Danny
there?
Bullman, 10th,
Yes.
141.
Yep.
Okay, you're missing eighth, sixth, fifth, first, and
First
second.
and second. That's amazing.
First and second. It's quite embarrassing, isn't it?
That's
It's
really
got to be
poor.
another.
I can't think of anybody.
And not and no.
Another centre back. It's got to be another centre back.
No centre backs.
No centre backs.
No. The only centre back in the whole top 10, actually, is Will Nightingale.
Callum Kennedy. He wasn't centre back, was he?
Nope.
So, no. Not Akinfenwa.
Nope.
Not Midson.
Nope.
Oh.
Who else is left?
Oh, my word. All right, one more guess each, and then I have to put you out of your misery.
Is there someone in the current squad? There's not someone in the current team.
No, the only one in the current squad is Reeves, who you've already stated.
Look, I can't remember who played last week, let alone who played like in Plymouth. Do you know what I mean? What the heck?
Well, one of these left in 2022, one left at the end of last season.
End of last season.
Jack Curry.
Nope. He played two seasons.
Jack Curry, no?
Yeah, he only played two seasons.
It's got to be a winger. I'll always think of
Ayo Basal.
Nope. It's a winger,
Sounds
though.
nowhere near.
There's some wingers in there.
Yeah.
It's
Going to be
going to be
some player that I really liked, I bet it. That's going to be annoying.
Omar Bugle, no. Who else? Okay, right. We're going to have to go because honestly, I know our listeners switched off at this point. But
Okay, eighth
Omar.
Anthony Hartigan, 152.
Wow.
Sixth Andy Bartram, 161.
Oh,
Bartram was
yeah.
I was thinking of. I was thinking of Bartram.
Fifth, some bloke called Joe Piggott, 194.
Whatever. What?
Adam's favourite.
Talking
No.
of everyone's favourite,
Yeah.
second, George Frankham,
Hey.
221.
Okay.
Topped only
Right.
by our captain at Wembley against Plymouth, Barry Fuller, 233 appearances.
Oh,
I
Gordon
see. I was
Bennett.
thinking Barry Fuller, but I was just thinking, oh, whatever. Anyway, all right,
Nine.
Reeves
fair
should
enough.
overhaul him if he plays the rest of the season.
Okay. Right then, everyone. Well,
On that
there you are.
bombshell.
On that bombshell of how appalling we are at knowing players, which isn't a surprise to Mark or any of you.
Who, yeah. And who agreed that we'd let Mark, who agreed that we'd let Mark come back with quizzes? I'm pretty sure we banned
No,
those.
that was an
That
accident.
wasn't a
I
quiz.
know,
That
that
was
was an
just some
accident.
stats.
That was an accident.
Barry
Yeah.
Fuller was embarrassing though, so that is embarrassing.
Right. Anyhow,
Okay.
all right, guys. Thank you for joining us. A special thanks to Anne. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth.